everyone, Sam here, your mother of Valkyries and host of the Sword and the Riven podcast. Have you ever felt like there's two of you, one that is incredibly successful at work, life, or whatever, and the other sitting on a train bench? Sitting on the bench, you're unsure of where to go next, wandering around the station lost. You look at the successful version of yourself and think, they are the imposter. That's not really you. The truth is, you're not an imposter at all. You're just experiencing imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome is something everyone experiences, even me, right now as your mother of Valkyries talking about this. Who am I to be talking about imposter syndrome when I told you all in the season one finale how much I struggled with this? But I'm going to push through all those thoughts and fears and keep going with this episode. Imposter syndrome is defined by Psychology Today as when you doubt your own skills and successes, you feel you're not as talented or worthy as others believe, and you're scared that one day people will realize that. Imposter syndrome can be so difficult because you base the conclusion of if you are a fraud on how you feel rather than on anything you've done. Our thoughts are skewed by this feeling making you ignore any information that supports the facts. What people say positively about you and what you think about yourself don't match up. The belief that you're an imposter is not based on evidence, it's based on the feeling of fear. People who believe they are imposters are blinded by fear. They're unable to see their achievements and experiences. They hear all the negative self-talk that their gremlins and brain are trying to convince them is true. But the problem isn't you. It's the interpretation of your feelings. Feeling discomfort doesn't mean you're a fraud. The most important thing to remember is that everyone feels this way at some point in their life, so you are not alone. Imposter syndrome can be experienced in all different ways in a fitness setting. One example is in the training world or in any type of competition. For a runner, they might experience imposter syndrome because they have to strive for a perfect time or perfect training schedule, or else they might be exposed as, quote, not a real runner, quote. The hard part about imposter syndrome is it's all a head game. It's those feelings which are not facts. The belief that you are an imposter comes from fear. You are your own worst enemy with your internal voice becomes extremely negative. It's the gremlin screaming lies at you. And if you want to learn more about your negative gremlin and how to shut him up, listen to episode 10. It's trying to determine what are the actual facts versus the imagined scenarios you created in your brain. But we can't live our lives in fear. Fear-based reasoning is helpful when in danger, not when we are trying to accomplish our goals. So how do we try and overcome imposter syndrome? First, you have to find out which type you are struggling with so you can find a solution that will work for you. No matter which type you are, it's all about doing the next right thing, just putting one foot in front of the other. Ever wonder what the Valkyries eat when training in the summer court? Tarquin gave us his cook's recipe book. Discover the delights of seasonal cuisine with the Summer Court Seasonal Cookbook by Akatar Eats. Embrace the nutritious and cost-effective benefits of eating with nature's calendar. With almost 30 new recipes for every occasion and Akatar-themed, this will be your go-to guide for the summer. Every recipe is swap-friendly for vegetarian and other dietary concerns. Check out the Akatar Eats Instagram page at Akatar Eats to purchase and for more information. So how do we work through imposter syndrome? Well, since I too struggle with this, I went searching for someone who had way more knowledge and wisdom. I came across the book, The Imposter Cure, Beat Insecurities and Gain Self-Belief by Dr. Jessamy Hibbard. In the book, she details the five types of competence or internal rules that people with confidence issues try to follow. Understanding these types can help us identify thought patterns and behaviors that contribute to feelings of inadequacy and self-doubt, which bring on imposter syndrome. When we recognize these types, we can shift our mindsets to focus on our strengths and accomplishments instead of our perceived shortcomings. I'm going to go through each type, and I hope you listen in and recognize which one or ones you identify with. Try and see patterns and to learn how to make a conscious effort to change. I'm going to give a short overview, but if you want to learn more, I would highly suggest reading the book. The first type is called the perfectionist. The perfectionist primarily focuses on how something is done and how it turns out. They have high standards and always aim to deliver a perfect performance 100% of the time. They believe their best efforts are never good enough, even when they reach 99% of their goals. The perfectionist has a need to meet exceedingly high standards that may be impossible to achieve. Imposter syndrome can fuel perfectionism, causing someone to strive for perfection to prevent exposure as a fraud. They usually have a specific vision and a plan for how to reach their goals. They believe there's a right and wrong way with no detours in sight. They want to do things to the highest quality possible and hyper-focus on their areas they could have improved. Perfectionists believe if they want something done right, they must do it themselves and as a result don't trust others' abilities to do it properly. When things get too difficult or they can't achieve something the way they want, they give up. Even if they achieve success, if it wasn't in the way they planned, that success is seldom satisfying. An example of the perfectionist in fitness is someone who wants to run a 10-minute mile. They think they have to hit a 10-minute mile this time and have very detailed steps and plans on how to get there. They think they have to be improving every single day and they can't regress even 1 second. They don't take anything else into account except that they did not reach their perfect plan. It's the fear of someone finding out that they didn't reach their goal perfectly that causes feelings of imposter syndrome. As an example of this in Valkyrie Squad is someone who thinks they failed the program because they didn't do it perfectly. Maybe on day one, they feel like they took too many breaks during the workout or felt like they didn't extend their legs all the way, so they feel like they failed. Maybe someone thinks that because they skipped one day, they failed the program. By the way, you didn't, and please go listen to episodes 19 and 23 of this podcast. Imposter syndrome can creep in for the perfectionist when you're in Discord celebrating you finished Novice Month, but you are afraid that someone might find out it took you 2 months to finish. So if you're feeling like you may be experiencing perfectionist imposter syndrome, here are some tips to help overcome it. Remind yourself that your life and goals are a process that requires self-awareness, self-compassion, and a willingness to embrace imperfection. Set realistic goals and expectations, plan breaks to avoid burnout, and prioritize progress over perfection. And remember that failing means you are trying and is sometimes necessary to help you get to what you want to achieve. The second type of imposter syndrome is the natural genius. They care about how and when accomplishments happen. They hold the belief their success is solely based on their natural talent or intelligence, usually because success has always come easily to them without really trying. This creates an unrealistic expectation of perfection and makes them feel like they're a fraud when they fail. The natural genius can judge themselves on whether they get things right on the first try. They believe true competence is high intelligence and ability and that there is no room for development. When they don't get something right in the first time, they feel shameful. They strive to master any new skill with little effort. They believe if they have to work hard at it, they must not be good at it. Things should be effortless. The natural genius can be overly optimistic about achievements, causing them to give up at the first sight of a challenge. Setbacks completely throw them off, so they can tend to avoid taking risks in case they fail. It's like learning to crack a whip or axe throwing. You can be really good the first couple of times, but then can't stick anything after that. You are a natural at the start, but then you feel like a failure. You feel like you need to get it right the first time. An example in fitness is with learning kickboxing. You might feel like if you don't get the drills down easily and if they don't flow and feel natural the first time and that you failed. Just because you're not feeling coordinated right away doesn't mean you failed. And it doesn't mean you're a fraud for not being a natural at it. Sometimes in fitness, you might not be a natural when you expect to be because you are using your muscles differently. You shift to do something different and you feel like you should be able to do it, but you can't. Just like that viral TikTok of the weightlifters going into Pilates, they lift so much weight, but they can barely do some of the simple Pilates moves. They could be thinking that they are a fraud because they've failed, but hopefully not. So what should you do if you identify with the natural genius? You can overcome the imposter syndrome through self-reflection and reframing negative self-talk, aka those lies your gremlins tell you. And remember, check out episode 10 for more on those little fuckers. Looking inside yourself and reflecting can also help you identify your strengths, weaknesses, and create a more realistic view of your abilities. Instead of considering yourself a genius, consider yourself a work in progress. The third competence type of imposter syndrome is the soloist. The soloist defines competence as something they are able to do on their own. They care about who completes the task. This imposter syndrome type affects people who believe they must do everything themselves, and that asking for help or support is a sign of weakness. As a result, the soloist often feels isolated and overwhelmed, leading to feelings of inadequacy and self-doubt. It's the idea that their achievement only counts if it's unassisted, that they must turn down help because if they need help, it's a sign of failure. They highly value independence and are actually unwilling to ask for help. An example of the soloist in fitness is when they have to take modifications for a workout. They get frustrated, they can't do it on their own, and think they failed because they needed help. Or maybe you're training for something and all of a sudden you start to feel pain in certain places. The soloist might think, I'm going to power through this pain and I'm not going to ask for help because this is what I've always done. In Valkyrie Squad, the soloist joins the squad but doesn't join the incredible Discord community. They think they can do it on their own and don't need support from the community. Also, it could be someone who does join the Discord, but when they get advice from people, they don't take it because they don't need help. For example, someone sends a message, "This hurts," from the day 17 workout. And Valkyries respond with advice and suggestions of, "Have you tried this?" But the soloist thinks or says, "No, I'm going to keep doing what I've always done." Recovering from the soloist imposter syndrome type starts with identifying what is causing your need to be so independent and achieve success entirely on your own. And fuck, that's not easy to do. But once you start the process, you can begin to build your inner circle and reach out your hand to ask for help, lean on and celebrate wins with them. The fourth type of imposter syndrome is the expert. The expert can be a version of the perfectionist. It's all about what and how much they know and can do. They don't feel satisfied until they have a full, comprehensive understanding of a subject. And when they don't know the answer to everything, they blame themselves for being incompetent. It's the fear of being exposed for not knowing anything or even enough, so they constantly seek out knowledge. The expert is common among people who have acquired specialized knowledge and skills in their field, like doctors, lawyers, and scientists. Why? Because they have invested so much time and effort into their education and training. They feel like they should know everything about their chosen field. They believe a certain threshold of experience is needed to be competent and therefore are always on the hunt for new information. An example of this in the fitness world is someone who is going to get certified in a specific discipline or style. The expert gets certified so they can teach, but even once they've completed their certification, they still don't feel like they know enough, so they keep learning more and more, and they actually end up procrastinating and never teaching. In Valkyrie Squad, the expert could be the person who thinks they know it all, so they don't want to start with the basics. They're the person who asks, "Can I start with something else? I'm way stronger than Novice Month." Or they believe Novice Month is below their skill level, so they refuse to do the basics, thinking they know it all. They might even jump in without reading all the information. The expert can also be the person in Valkyrie Squad that needs to watch every form video or watch the workout videos and acquire all the knowledge before they start day one. And they believe if they don't learn everything, they can't start. When you're feeling imposter syndrome as an expert, a way to combat that is to seek out opportunities for growth and learning. Doing this can help expand your knowledge base and boost your confidence by developing more skills and combat feelings of inadequacy. Building your inner circle is crucial for the expert. It allows them to practice vulnerability in sharing their struggles and being held accountable for their continued growth. The fifth and final competence type of imposter syndrome is the superhero. The superhero is usually a high achiever who puts incredible pressure on themselves to excel in all areas of life to justify their accomplishments and success. They push themselves to work harder than ever and all others. So while perfectionists are always striving to do better, superheroes are wanting to do more and more. They judge themselves on how many roles they can juggle and excel in. They expect to fill those roles all perfectly with ease. If they fall short, they feel shame. They hold the belief they should be able to handle everything. Anyone who considered themselves a workaholic can struggle with this type. The superhero never allows for a break. They feel unable to say no, even when struggling to keep up. It's the idea they have to always be on because they feel like there are no breaks. They can become addicted to validation of working versus the work itself. They measure how well they do things and by how many things they can juggle at one time. If the superhero isn't careful, they can experience extreme burnout. The superhero in fitness tries to do every aspect at once. Like in Valkyrie Squad, the superhero may feel like they need to do all the videos or side quests, plus adding in foam rolling and mobility. They think if they're not feeling sore after a workout, it's not a legit workout. They need to have this intensity to feel like they're getting a reward. It might even just be the feelings of, I didn't sweat enough or I didn't burn enough calories, so it wasn't worth it. Working through the superhero imposter syndrome can be challenging, but totally possible. The first step is to recognize that being the best at everything is not a realistic goal. Everyone makes mistakes and fails. Try setting realistic expectations for yourself and allow time for breaks and rest to help. And if you can't come up with realistic expectations, just ask a friend. I have no doubt they will tell you what is too much. What was the point of going through all that? Like Ted Lasso says, find out before you freak out. Before you are in deep struggling with imposter syndrome, it's good to understand which type you may be, so you can do things to avoid those fears and feelings. And if you're already struggling, do what Ted also says in this quote. There's two buttons I never like to hit. That's panic and snooze. Panicking and choosing to believe all those fears won't help in tense situations, just as hitting the snooze button won't help in achieving your goals. Choose to stay calm, reevaluate, and find a new path toward your goals. The interesting thing is that even confident people can experience imposter syndrome too, but they usually come to a different conclusion. Instead of thinking this thing makes them an imposter, they take a different path. They may think the fear is associated with doing something new and stepping out of their comfort zone. They may recognize that anxiety is not all bad and make use of it. It helps gear you up for a change, keeps you on your toes, makes you more alert. If it doesn't work out, they'll learn something from doing it, but their anxiety then doesn't increase further. They may see themselves an imposter. They just don't see it as a problem. They understand that there is a certain amount of bluff involved in life, especially at the beginning of something new. Confident people are happy to trust their instincts and ability to learn. They trust they can grow into the person they need to be. You can be confident and overcome imposter syndrome in your life too. When you're struggling with all those internal fears, remember what Moana taught us, that the call isn't out there at all, it's inside me. We spend so much time and energy looking outside ourselves and worrying about how we may or may not be perceived because of our accomplishments. We forget that all we need is already inside of each of us. We just have to choose to follow your own personal call. Even if it sounds like Hey Hey the Chicken. This week's piece of Cauldron Blessed Wisdom is one of my favorite Ted Lasso quotes. He says, just listen to your gut, and on the way down to your gut, check in with your heart. Between those two things, they'll let you know what's what. It's a great reminder to check in with yourself. Besides Ted's advice being anatomically correct, it's a fun way to remember that your brain, heart, and gut could all have three separate responses. What your heart says is your intuition. Your brain is the rational one, but it's your gut that will tell you the truth. And sometimes you find the truth of the matter in the in-between. Your action item this week is to go back to your white ribbon that we talked about in season one. Revisit and take a look back at that goal you chose for your ribbon. Look and see how far you've come since you started working toward that ribbon. Think about what wins you accomplished toward it and what you learned from the failures along the way. Sometimes we forget to look at what we've accomplished, to take the step back and write them down. You might even see you've done more than you ever thought. Until next time, remember to be strong, kick ass, and be fucking magical every day. This episode was produced by writer Bex Castro and audio engineer Carolyn McMorrin. Special thank you to Taylor Ash for creating the music of this podcast. And thanks for listening to The Sword and the Ribbon by The Micro Squad. If you're interested in learning more about the Valkyrie Squad, visit us at thevalkyriesquad.com. If you're interested in learning more about the Micro Squad or Geek Gym for a class, visit us at themicrosquad.com. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts from so you don't miss out. And if you like this week's episode, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.